This time, pray attend the most powerful men in Canada as they discuss top tech. This week, collecting movies.
You know how hard it is to find information on the internet about Blu-ray market penetration?
Oh, you dirty, dirty marketer.
Are we doing Be the Media now?
No, but you just got me thinking about that. And I'm like, son of a bitch, I can't find anything. Like, there's all these things that people have written, and I can't find anything that is later than 2009. I think there's been one in 2010, but I'm like, has anyone actually looked to see what it's been like in 2012? And I can't find anything.
I'm sure there's useful information on this, but yeah, I couldn't find anything really useful either.
I've seen an analyst say Blu-ray to reach 74% market share by 2017. And that's the kind of thing that makes me think, okay, wait a second. That's ignoring an awful lot of other things.
Well, and what kind of market penetration? Is that total market penetration? Is that penetration of people who already own a DVD player? Is that conversion rate?
Is that exclusivity? You know, there's a lot of people that have DVDs and Blu-rays. I have HD DVDs. I have stuff that I've downloaded. You know, I have a combination of things. I watch a bunch of stuff on Netflix.
What about people coming into the market who their first device is going to be a Blu-ray player, where they would actually have a choice between it?
Yeah. Whippersnappers, you mean?
The guy who's saying that Blu-ray is to reach 74% market share by 2017, the article that quotes this was written in February 2009. The weird thing is that back then, it's completely fine to say, oh yeah, that would totally happen. I can see that happening because Netflix, what the hell's that? Isn't that thing where you send them your address and then they mail you DVDs? Yeah, that's what Netflix was. And now in the last 3 years, Netflix is not that anymore. Netflix is now, hey, it's a way that you can watch stuff at home and you don't have to get the DVD. We'll just stream it to you.
Oh, and by the way, most of it's HD now.
Yeah.
And they're doing a lot of stuff in surround sound as well. And the catalog's growing all the time.
It's so weird because of stuff like that, and then in the States for Hulu, and having all of these other companies, and not even companies, but I mean like the BBC has the iPlayer, and they're kind of expanding that out in terms of how much content they want to be able to offer to people online. Nothing that is older than a year in terms of analysis can really stand up anymore, because the zeitgeist has changed so much. People want to just stream stuff. The iTunes media store has become this thing where it's like you'll be able to get TV. You can get movies and just rent them or even buy them and just watch them whenever you like. And the whole video on demand thing, I feel like it's really shifted a lot. If you don't do video on demand, like streamed video on demand, chances are good that you're probably on cable or satellite anyway.
Oh, but even that's not even a way to really think of it now, because you sign up for a cable or satellite package and boom, you now have a free PVR rental.
Yeah, and you can time shift all of your stuff.
Changes the game entirely.
Yep.
Okay, my parents as an example, because they live way out in the boonies, so they get not decent internet. They're on satellite and doing that kind of thing. I don't think I'll get them to move to Netflix or anything like that. But they go to Mexico for 5 months of the year. And when they're in Mexico, if they want to watch a movie, they go to the bodega or they go to the marketplace and they buy a $3 rip of some random DVD that showed up from wherever that comes in a little slip case. And it's like, yeah, we have this. And it even has a cover on it and whatnot. And they buy a lot of those things because it's for 5 months of the year. That's how you're going to get entertainment in English in Mexico. So they've stopped buying DVDs. And I think also if you live out of town, if you live in places where you're not going to be near a place that sells DVDs and Blu-rays, you're probably not thinking of buying them online either to watch that stuff. You're going to be like, oh, well, you know what? It'll show up on the pay-per-view on my satellite dish or on my cable package, or it'll, you know, show up wherever, and I'll be able to watch a copy of it at some time. I mean, this is largely anecdotal, but I think a lot of people are getting away from this idea of I need to own something on a disc.
With Rogers gone, or at least mostly gone, and Blockbuster mostly gone, I actually don't know where to rent a DVD in this town anymore.
Yeah, I actually have one of the best video stores on the island
here. It's an independent store, isn't it, though?
It is. And it was most of the independents were crushed by Rogers and Blockbuster. And then when Rogers and Blockbuster folded for rentals, all the independents were gone except for this one that's very good. But there is still people, I think, that are wanting to have original media. They do buy into the extra features that you get with Blu-rays and DVDs with special features and commentary tracks and stuff like that. I'm not too sure how many people are actually using them or just think they need them.
I just bought a 6-disc premium box set of the first season of Oh My Goddess so that it would match the second season that's already on my bookshelf. I've seen it already. I'm not going to watch it again.
You're not buying that for features. You're buying that solely for collection value.
Well, not even collection, but just because it looks nice. And it's like, I guess that is value. That is like, to me, it has value.
Johnny, you were just going through this the other day when you were trying to actually rip your DVD collection. You're not trying to pirate it. You're trying to actually have it be more accessible and more useful to you.
Yeah, I was planning on taking all of my DVDs and putting them into storage and ripping them all to network storage available so I can watch them anytime and not have to pull the discs out and they don't take up anywhere near as much space. But I wanted to keep all the original special features on there.
Nobody's making that easy for you.
No, it's not easy. I ended up kind of giving up on it. It was something that I wanted to do. And then I realized in so many cases, this is ridiculous, but because of the speed at which it takes to rip a video and the amount of problems you get with doing that, it was always quicker just to download it from the Pirate Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So a movie that I own, that I paid for, it was easier for me to pirate it, to put it in my storage, than it was for me to, because of copy protection and speed of disk drives and all sorts of other things, it was actually easier for me to let someone else have done that and put it up online, and the speed of the network connection was faster.
Well, and given their experience pirating so much, they probably did a better job ripping it than you could have.
We're in a weird time right now where things are changing. You know, when you grew up, when you had TV, entertainment that way, like video entertainment, was ethereal. It was something that you just got sent to you and you took it. It was push, right? And you took whatever was there. Then we ended up in this situation where now it wasn't this ethereal thing. You could own a physical object that had media on it, but it was single service media, right? Like you had one movie on it, or you had like four TV shows, and that didn't even really happen that much, but that was there. But you could have physical objects. And then we all became very, very obsessed with getting these physical objects.
I think much in the same way as the obsession with collecting records or CDs. The idea of music collection kind of all of a sudden became the same kind of obsession with collection for videos.
Yeah, and you didn't have, because you would have people who would never really be into music, but they like to go watch movies. And then all of a sudden, they now have a way to collect physical media that has their favorite movies. I mean, I have movies in my collection that I got because I thought to myself, well, this was a good movie, I may watch it again. But it wasn't like I love this movie, I have to own this movie. I fell into the collector's mindset of, I need to have this because it's a cheap version of this thing I enjoyed once. And if I have it, then maybe it'll be worth something again to somebody someday, but it won't. And yes, and these things don't.
I think the idea of getting the content when you are actually wanting to watch it, as opposed to this obsession with the collection of the media, is probably much more healthy in the long run. It might be more disposable in the sense that, you know, you're buying this thing and then it disappears. Maybe you're renting it, or it's a digital file that could be deleted and it's not as permanent as a physical disc. But why do you need that disc?
It goes back to the ethereal nature of the content itself. This is something that came up. I was watching a Japanese television series, Sakamichi no Apollon, which I know Pete is watching. It takes place in the early 50s, I believe.
Yeah, it's just after the war.
Just after the war in Japan. One of the kids was saying, oh, well, I really wanted to see that movie, The Sound of Music. And I was hoping it would still be playing in the theaters. And I guess I can't see that anymore because it's gone. And that was a thing. There was no, well, I guess I'll just wait for it to come out on video. No, it was gone. And if you were really, really lucky, they might do a re-release into the theaters of it.
Yeah, they'll do a revival.
If you miss seeing Wizard of Oz in the theater, you might conceivably think you might never be able to see it again.
Well, but that back then it was a little bit different, and this is something that happened with Star Wars. They would bring things back into the theater for another run.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was always huge news, right? When they're like, oh, they're extending the run for another 2 weeks, or it came back like 3 weeks later and it's like, oh, we're doing another run,
a
you
few
know?
Months.
And, it was, and people got really excited. Yeah.
Because that was the only way you could see movies, and if you didn't see it, that's it. You're done.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas all now, you would have is the stories of it. Unlike music or books, well, I guess originally music would be concert performances and radio, and you know, but records, of course, allowed you to hold on to those things and listen to them whenever you wanted. But music, I think, is a different beast than a movie. Some people watch movies over and over and over again, but most people are more interested in the replay value of their music than they are in movies.
Well, again, yeah. Back then it had to be, because you didn't collect music because it was, I think, because you wanted to have a collection. You just collected music as a matter of course, because that was how you got music. If you wanted to listen to that music more than when it was going to be popular on the radio, you bought the album.
You could go to music stores and they had listening booths for the idea that you could preview the music, but also people would go there, and not many, but some people would go there to listen to the music over and over because they didn't want to buy the disc. They didn't have the money to do it, but they could go listen to the album again. That's like going to see the music in a movie theater. You're going into a place, you're putting some headphones on, you're like, you're going to enjoy it for like the 45 minutes it takes to go through the whole album. And you're like, that was good. I'm going to put this back on the shelf, and then maybe I'll, you know, I might come by it sometime, or maybe I won't. Who knows?
Well, it's interesting. I actually think that, like, I listen to music that way. Like, I listen to music over and over again, and maybe it's because I think of it as not as an involved art form, which might be a bit elitist of me, but that I can just have it play and not be as engaged in it, and it's just part of my experience. Whereas moving pictures and sound grab my attention in a way that nothing else can grab it back again. So if there's something on a television set with sound playing in my vicinity, I watch it. So I hate going to sports bars, for instance, because I constantly am looking at sports playing on there. But because of that, I get very engaged in watching a movie, but I'm not super likely to watch a movie over and over again. Like, I watch it once and I enjoy it, and maybe a few years later I think to watch it again. Or what happens most often, and the reason I probably buy movies, is because I want to share that fun and experience with someone else. Oh, you haven't seen Brazil? Oh, I own Brazil. Let's watch Brazil together. Right? Yes. That kind of thing. And it's been a couple of years since I've seen Brazil or Memento or whatever movie it is that you want to share that experience with someone with. But I don't tend to watch movies by myself very often anyway. But when I do, I watch movies that I haven't seen before.
I'm sorry, I just saw you as the Dos Equis guy. I don't watch movies very often, but when I do.
I think what we're seeing here at this point, it's part of a shared culture, and that's part of what music was back in the day, and movies were music less now, because it's so ubiquitous and so easy to get lost in your own personal taste of music that there is less and less of it, or at least the shared part of that shared culture is becoming so narrowed.
It's true, because there are so many different bands, and people will, you know, like, I like this band, I like that band. And even if I am a consumer of music, Ian, you listen to a lot of stuff that when you say, oh, have you listened to the Tang Tangs? And I'm like, absolutely not. I don't know what you're talking about. And I don't know what jumps you had to go through to get to the point where you were listening to that band.
Also, the Tang Tangs aren't a thing that exists, but go on.
Okay, whatever. Whatever the hell it was, the group that you're listening to.
The Tang Tangs?
Was it the Ting Tings?
I was listening to a mashup of the Ting Tings with Dizzy Rascal.
Okay, thank you. But you listen to that, and I'm like, I don't understand the jumps it takes for you to get to a point where you're listening to that. And to me, that's like, that's not part of the way that I listen to music. And so therefore, I never really approach it.
But whereas conversely, it's all part of being a shared culture. I'm looking forward to when we get to Victoria and I sit you and Johnny and Graham and Alex down, and we all watch Bad American Dubbing 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, goody.
To introduce them to a part of our shared culture.
Yeah, stuff that you and I have certainly seen beforehand. That's a remix as well. That's a mashup thing on its own.
But it's pervasive.
Yeah. Well, it's pervasive in the anime community, certainly.
Well, not even within the anime community, just between us, within part of our culture. To better understand us, you need to have seen that.
Yeah.
I'm almost coming full circle now. I'd kind of convinced myself that this obsession with collecting movies was pointless, And now I'm seeing more and more of the value of being able to share those things at any time with people that haven't seen them yet. But I'm wondering if the electronic distribution method of that is much more convenient. Even the cost of it, you know, buying a $20, $30 Blu-ray that you maybe watch once and then maybe share with one other person, maybe. Yeah. Why not just save yourself the physical room in your limited space domicile and, you know, rent it online and then rent it again when you want to show it to someone?
For the cost of 4 Blu-rays, I can buy a 2 terabyte hard drive to put in my Drobo or to put wherever, and I can put hundreds of legally electronic copies, stuff that I've purchased from iTunes Store, from wherever else, legal electronic copies of this stuff to watch then. Or I can subscribe to Netflix
for a year.
And I can find all the things that I want and say, hey, come to my house and we'll watch this video on demand.
Well, the great thing about stuff like Netflix, of course, is that if the person you go to their house, if they have some sort of, you know,
if they can play it back,
if they've got a game system or a computer that's hooked up to their television, you can just log in with your own Netflix account and have access to it.
Well, you can just then actually access your friend's playlist and say, oh, Johnny just watched this, I guess I better watch it too, so that we can talk about it around the water cooler. I think the value isn't necessarily in the collection itself or in having the value comes from, and this is what's been changing because of technology, the value is how easily you can access these touchstones that you have that you want to share with other people.
And the easier you can access it, it generally means that the simpler it is to participate in that culture.
It started out with, well, you had to be there when Shakespeare was putting on this play in the Globe Theater. And then it moved it, well, I guess we all have to go out to the movie theater and watch a movie together. Well, I guess you can go down to the library or down to the local video rental store and you can watch the movie there. Well, I'll just throw this copy of the video into my Dropbox folder and you can grab it.
Yeah. And we can all watch it together.
Or tweet a link to it available on some sort of network source that everyone can view.
Yeah, now you're on Netflix. Here, let me just put it in your queue.
And I'm sorry, when I said the easier it is to get it, the simpler. What I meant to say is the easier it is to get it, the more likely it is you'll actually watch the things that your friends are saying, hey, have this. You know, be a part of this and see what's going on and listen to my music and watch the videos and watch the TV shows I'm watching. And we can all chat about that stuff. And then the choices you're making are not based on, you know, I don't have that, so I can't watch it. It becomes more of, I'm not interested in watching that, or it didn't grab me. And let's have a conversation about why it didn't grab me.
It's been a very, very long time since I sat down and just said, what's on TV?
Yeah, God, I hate that. Oh,
yeah. And I actually haven't had paid for cable television my entire adult life, and I am happier for it.
Yeah, I went to my parents' place when we were there one time. I sat down and turned on the TV because I'm like, okay, so they have satellite, so they have like about at least 100 channels. There must be something on here I can watch. And I went through all the channels. It was like midnight on Sunday night, and there was nothing. And I thought to myself, boy, if I was home right now, I'd have a dozen different things I could be watching.
Mm-hmm. Things that you've taken the time to grab and get ready to watch because you want to watch those things at some point.
Button it up, Ian.
So with that, my name is Ian Horner.
I'm Johnny Blakeborough.
And I have to go put something in my mouth. I'm Brendan Beachdeary.
And we'll see you all again next week.
The Most Powerful Men in Canada would love to hear from you. Please contact us by visiting our website at toptech.tiltyhouse.com if you have any comments or if there are any subjects you'd like us to cover in a future show.